Tonight on the Goblin's Corner.
The NPC Cheat Sheet.
That's how we roll. 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 That's how we roll.
Welcome to the Goblin's Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
the NPC Cheat Sheet.
That's right. So this evening, we are going to give you, the listener, the ability to make better NPCs for your game and why you should make better NPCs for your game.
And in some cases, ways to make easier NPCs for your game.
Yeah, that's the goal, definitely, is to make easier NPCs and when you should basically phone it in versus coming up with an NPC that's rich and engaging.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, I believe we have a question of the week. Is that true?
We do.
All right. What do we got this week?
I'm following on theme this week. So it's a two-part question.
Okay.
The first part, well, it's together. So, favorite NPCs to interact with as a player and favorite NPC to interact with the players as the GM. What are yours?
Let's see. I would say as a player character, I enjoy two types of NPCs to interact with. The first is the lovable, grizzled, ex-adventurer bartender, because, you know, there's always one.
Sure.
Even though it doesn't start in a bar. But when it does, you should interact with the barkeep.
And even if it doesn't start in a bar, you're going to one eventually.
Absolutely.
That would be a great adventure idea.
What?
It's just trying to get back to the bar.
Oh, I love that idea. Stuck in the middle of a war, you're on a different plane, and all you want to do is have a drink.
Yeah, I just want a cold beer. Is it too much to ask?
It's like the Vash the Stampede thing where he's always trying to get food or water.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so innkeeper is definitely one, that grizzled ex-adventure innkeeper. You know, the one that's got a named club behind the bar named Lucy.
Sure. The sword or axe that hangs on the back wall, what have you. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know it.
Yeah, mind your rules and it's named rules.
Right.
The other one I want to say is the street urchin with a heart of gold. Either as a wayfinder for when you go into town, there's always a street urchin, you know, do you need some help? You know, 10 coppers I can show you around town. Or, you know what? I really need some thievery done and I don't feel like having the current corpse go to jail, so let's pay this small child to do it instead. So those are my two favorite as characters.
What's your favorite NPC as GM?
Oh, you know who that is.
Is it time for tea?
It is indeed Qualish Gingersnap, who sounds like a British admiral. He's an old gnome, and he happens to be Qualish Gingersnap, which you might, those of you who have played D&D, may wonder, the name Qualish sounds interesting, and does it actually apply to the apparatus of Qualish? And yes, in my campaigns, it does. He actually invented the apparatus of Qualish, regardless of who actually created that in real life.
Right. In the lore. Right.
And in the lore of my game, he was a captive of the Lady of Pain in Sigil. And Qualish ended up, in many of our campaigns, just showing up with a flying carpet. Or the apparatus of Qualish.
Right.
Whenever some lighthearted comedy was necessary, or whenever the characters went astray and they needed help from the DM. If you remember, he would show up and it was always time for tea.
Hmm.
He would just have a floating teacup, a whole tea set.
Yeah.
Usually on a flying carpet, but sometimes, like as I mentioned, on the apparatus. And what you guys, do you remember what you guys eventually found out about his whole backstory?
I do not.
He was a prisoner of the Lady of Pain.
Right.
But he ended up going back in time.
And that's right.
The original apparatus of Qualish was a time machine, not the typical
lobster
submarine thing. Right. Yeah, lobster tank submarine that you would normally find. And so that's why you guys kept seeing him at random moments, because he would just pop back and forth throughout the time stream and happen to run across your characters during that campaign and a couple other ones, which was why sometimes he appeared to know more about you than
other times.
Right.
Right.
So that would be my favorite
Doctor Who timelineishness.
Very much so. Yes, he definitely was a Time Lord of some sort. Yeah, a gnomish Time Lord.
I can see it.
So, what are your favorite NPCs to interact with as a player?
As a player, for Shadowrun, I love a well-played Mr. Johnson.
Oh, you're going to Shadowrun route. Very good, yes. Mr. Johnson's always nice. I've always been a fan of fixers in Shadowrun as NPCs myself.
I love that. I love a good smuggler for Star Wars. It's just a good smuggler. Let me rephrase that. I live a not good smuggler in Star Wars. I want my smugglers to be grimy. Just, I know I can't trust them. And maybe this is going to work out. Maybe it won't.
You want a capable smuggler, right. But you want a...
I want a talented one, not necessarily a good, in quotation marks, one.
As far as morality, smuggler. Right. Got it.
And for D&D, I love intelligent monsters. Whether or not they're there to be killed or what have, like, just run across a random treant, right? He's just there doing treant stuff.
Yeah, just chilling with the trees, man. Yeah. He's a treant. He's just doing tree things.
Yep. Getting some sun, hanging out with the squirrels.
He's catching some rays, man.
Yeah. Those are fun because it's interesting from a strictly non-combat point of view to just have something that is monstrous, kind of in quotation marks.
Lots of games do that, but I think in D&D terms, Eberron probably is the best one that has NPC monsters because of...
Droam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of Droam, you could literally go to Sharn and see a bunch of ogres unloading...
Yeah, bugbears, whatever. Yeah.
Boxes of stuff, bugbear mercenaries. There might be, you know, probably not in Sharn, but in other games, especially on the plains, there could be a beholder tending bar.
Yeah.
Using his telekinesis eye to serve drinks and his disintegration eye to, you know, clean up the mess.
Right. Now, in fairness, in that particular case, he is a crime lord, so there's that.
Sure. But he's serving drinks, so that's fine with me.
And actually, to tie in, for the second part of the question, the character, the NPC I love most is one that I'm actually not going to be able to mention because you play in my games.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to go with a different one.
I know of which you speak of. It's the one that no one has recognized.
Yes.
It's the same NPC for every game you've played. And I didn't know until you mentioned it. And I'm not going to say anything because our friends are listening and we still play this campaign.
Yes. So that is my favorite. But I think secondly, I enjoy a magic item creator, right? Like if you go the Wizard's Tower, right? Where if you're going to have to get a custom magic item made, or if you're looking to pick up something in particular, that guy, that wizard that specializes in burying his face in esoteric materials, he's always fun to play. Or she, you know, whichever.
It's a crusty old dude making, or lady making, all kinds of just zany magic items.
Sometimes they're completely nuts, and sometimes they're completely focused, but they're always fun to throw a personality on and just run with it.
Great for eccentricities as well.
Yes.
I totally agree with that. Those are great NPCs. And with that, what a great segue into NPCs.
Yes.
So first off, let's give some quick tips on how to make a better NPC.
Okay.
So for the NPC cheat sheet, first off, what is the NPC being used for in your game? And what we mean by that is there's a lot of different ways you can use an NPC to actually enhance your story or enhance the player's story as well. So there's a couple examples. Give me one, for example.
Well, information dissemination is the first one that comes to mind.
Yep. So what's the story about?
Yeah.
Or what's going on in the story, more likely?
What is happening in the world that requires your PC's presence?
Correct. This could also be what's going on in the town that they're visiting, or they roll into an inn. It might be an NPC that they interact with in the inn. Basically, in this case, the NPC is a touch point to either continue the story or veer off on a different story.
Then you've got the other side of that, which is you have the emotional side of the story, mm-hmm. right? Maybe they're there for comic relief, or the opposite side of that coin, the dramatic tension.
Yeah, get a little bit of tension in the game. They can even help out the storyline by providing, depending upon how you play, it could be a love interest.
Sure.
They could be relatives of the player characters, which is always interesting as well.
That can be a very fun dynamic.
Another thing to consider also is they're the GM or DM's window into building a story with the characters as well. They give an insight into how the storyteller thinks.
Yeah.
So when I play a game, it's not necessarily the same as when Matt plays a game. And so my NPCs are going to be slightly different than your NPCs. And that's a great thing, because that allows the player characters, people actually running with you, kind of an insight in how the game might end up. If you're playing something from a horror motif, the NPCs are going to be themed vastly differently than if we're doing just like a hack and slash or some kind of epic magic adventure, you know, or if we're doing a Shadowrun, right?
Sure. The other thing about that is you can also use an NPC to drop narrative hints without hitting the players over the head.
Without cramming it down their throats?
Right. The person hiring the PCs is like, this is going to require a delicate touch. You're not going to be able to just run in there. There are guards everywhere. Now the PCs know that this is either a subterfuge or espionage mission or quest that they're going on. It is not a burn down the castle and run off into the night scenario.
Requires a little subterfuge. And in addition to that, as a storyteller, you definitely want to make sure that you have some sort of foreshadowing, have some method that you can disseminate information that is not just reading out of a book.
Yeah.
Like, you want ways to make your players think. And NPCs are great ways to do that, in addition to stuff like notes written in a bottle, right? Just, I don't know if that makes any sense, but...
Well, they're interactive narrative devices, right?
Yes.
Because you can't, if I tell the, if at the start of the game, session zero, right, we're doing a subterfuge style espionage game. Okay, we've discussed that ahead of time, but now we're 5 or 6 sessions in and they're going on their first serious for real espionage mission. You can, through the use of an NPC, remind them of the tact and the plan of this particular campaign.
Give them a little nudge.
Right.
And this is especially important when your characters, look, everybody's human, you're playing a game, you might be hanging out with your friends, some information is going to get lost.
Yes.
And you need to, as a storyteller, remind them what's going on. Keep them on track. Because
sure.
We all squirrel out,
yeah.
And when we squirrel, we go into random tangents, and then your storyline gets a little muddled, or you end up doing something that's vastly different than what you might have had in mind, and that's fine too, but to keep people on track, NPCs are great for that. So in general, we've got a couple of basic questions, or even just some things to consider when you're making an NPC. So first off, think about who actually exists in your world, and how an NPC would fit into that world.
Sure. So let's start off with a town scenario.
Okay.
The PCs come into a town. what town are they in? What part of the world are they in? Your NPCs should reflect where the PCs are.
That makes sense. If you're in a mining town, you should have mining NPCs.
Right. And if you're in an elven city, probably ought to be mostly filled with elves.
There might be a couple elves. And if there's not, why isn't there?
Right.
There's a storyline in that. And by the way, if you need help on city creation, we just did an episode on that a few episodes back. So go check that out as well on building better cities.
True story.
In addition to that, what's going on in this game? Now, this could be thematic, what's going on in this game, or literally, what's going on right now in this game? Are you in the middle of a war? Are you in the middle of a quest? Are you running from the cops because you did a run and it went sideways? There's a werewolf running after you in, you know, in your Scooby-Doo van? Who knows, right? Whatever right. game you're playing.
You're filled with loot and you just need to sell and buy new stuff.
Yeah, what's causing the characters to need to interact with that NPC or someone?
That's an important question.
And as we mentioned before, are they at a stage in the story where a bit of inspiration from the DM is a good idea?
Sometimes you just need a little nudge. You need a hint, something to get things back on, either back on track or get them moving if they're on track but stalled.
Yep.
Another thing is NPCs can help fit the level of experience of your players. If you've got a bunch of new players, you can have an NPC patron, as an example, that can maybe help your players move forward or give them advice, someone they can turn to as a method of the DM helping the players without them feeling like the players, are having to ask the DM.
Let's provide an example of that.
Sure. You've got a monster slayer, but they're freaking human, right? They're mm-hmm. 93 years old.
It's an old retired monster slayer?
Yeah, they just don't have it in them anymore.
Okay.
So now this guy's hired because someone has come to him to deal with a problem that he just physically can't deal with anymore. So he has taken you under his wing and is hiring you to deal with the problem. Now, he's probably going to give you advice, suggestions, things like that, so that you can succeed in the task that he wants you to accomplish.
Yep.
And he's got plenty of information. He's freaking 93 years old. He's been around.
So if you're starting off as a first level character, what a great thing to have is an extra tired monster hunter who's right. going to show you how, kind of show you the ropes.
Right. Especially if you've got a group of new players, right? Nobody has flint and steel, and you're going to hunt a troll.
Did you bring your torches? What do you mean, my torches? You can't hunt trolls without torches. And this is stuff that, yes, you could make your characters roll some kind of intelligence check to figure out.
Right.
Or you could even subtly hint as a DM, hey, maybe you should get this stuff. But sometimes you just kind of need to tell your characters stuff, especially if they're less experienced players.
Absolutely.
If you're running with a new group, they're not going to know every single thing. You don't want to just TPK them in the first game, because guess what? If you kill them all in the first game, they're not going to want to play again.
Right.
You want to make this fun and interesting and exciting. And plus, if it's more realistic, I would say, from a storytelling perspective, if you have an NPC who knows how to fight trolls, in your example.
Right.
Then
they're going to make sure you know.
Yeah, they're gonna be like, you need some fire, bro, or some acid. Because if you don't have that, why are you hunting trolls? You got something else?
Sure.
So that just makes sense. It helps those people survive. It helps make an interesting story. Interestingly, along that as well, which we skipped over, is knowing the makeup of your player characters. I think that's a very important point. And the reason is if you've got a bunch of new characters.
Sure.
then you're going to need to help them more than if they're a bunch of hardened adventurers. If they're hardened adventurers, they may not respond well to the same NPCs you throw at them. So, perfect example here. Damsel in distress. You know, the classic trope. Or damsel being, it could be anybody, right?
Right.
But someone's in distress. If they're a bunch of hardened adventurers, they might like, that sucks, and move on if they're playing their characters.
Right.
But if it's a merc coming up to them and saying, I've got a job for you, here's 2,000 gold, that might make a bigger impression on your PCs. If sure. your PC's full of a bunch of paladins, having an NPC tiefling may not strike them as...
But doing the right thing is doing the right thing regardless.
Regardless. So that might be also an interesting dynamic to throw yeah. into the game. So think about the makeup of your PCs as well. I like this also written down as some NPCs are just window dressing and are more for background.
Yeah. If you're walking down the street, you as a person, Eric, how many people, when you're walking through town, do you actually stop and communicate with?
Yep. You should know. Well, I don't communicate with many people these days because I don't go anywhere. But yeah, I get the idea. It's... You don't, you just see people as you're doing your day-to-day stuff. You might encounter people that you know. You might interact with the person, if you're shopping, for example, who's ringing you up.
Sure. But you probably didn't react with the other 40 people in the store.
Yep. And that's something as a storyteller you need to remember. Just because you're making an NPC, you need to tell it in a way that doesn't force the characters to interact with every single person they come along with.
You walk into a store. There are a couple other people shopping here. There's a person behind the counter. Mm. Oh, what is that person like? Well, here's the answer to that question. If they don't ask about the other three people shopping in the store, the other two people, whatever, don't tell them. You're wasting your time and theirs.
Here's the psychological trick here. Your players will have a tendency to focus more on the things as a storyteller
you describe.
Yep. The more yep. you describe, the more they're going to be like, oh, this must be very important. I should probably try to talk to the person, slay it, or what have you. And to that end, I want to follow this up with an improv rule, which is NPCs are very much like walk-ons in a scene. So an improv, a walk-on, really only serves one purpose. You have something to say, and then you get the fuck out.
Right.
Walk-ons in a scene... I'm going to give a bit of information to further this scene, and then I'm done. Get out. I'm not stealing the limelight. I'm not stealing the show. I walk on. I say my bit. I give information to the people who are in the scene, and I get the fuck out.
There's a fire in the dock ward.
Yep. Gone.
They have 1,000 other people to tell.
Yep. And that is important for a DM because you are playing every other character. They are playing one character. Don't steal the scene. You've got the whole other game world to run in your head anyway. Have your NPCs say what's necessary and get the fuck out. Now, if the characters all of a sudden become absorbed in what your NPC is saying, then that's fine.
We're going to come to that in a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
So we were going to do a couple of short bits on how to make some NPCs easily. But also, this is one of the things that I didn't learn as soon as I would have liked to have. And that is, any NPC can be fired.
What do you mean by that?
So, if you have a shopkeeper, and whatever happens, and the players... Like, maybe you were off a little bit that night, or the players, for some reason, got it in their heads that this dude is just wrong for some reason, whatever. Fire them. The next time they come in the store, it's a different person.
Oh, yeah. There's no reason why the same innkeeper is in the inn every single day. He's off for this week. He's going out fishing.
Yeah, and he went to visit family, whatever. Guards, the same way. There are dozens of guards. Everybody works shifts. Everybody walks around. You swap them out. If something about the NPC didn't hit the players correctly or didn't hit you correctly, get rid of them. Doesn't matter.
That's a great way to make NPCs. Yeah. If you fail at making an NPC, as you mentioned, get rid of them. Make another NPC. Keep at them. These are supposed to be quick and dirty anyway.
Right.
NPCs, you're not supposed to devote a chapter of a book into creating them. You can. And obviously, if you're writing an adventure, you might.
Right. Now,
but
understand,
most of the time,
for the purposes of this exercise, when we say NPC, technically everybody other than the players is an NPC.
Sure.
Some are very important. Some are less so. We, in this particular instance, we are talking about less important people.
Yeah,
you cannot recast the king.
Everyday randos.
Right.
Like, we're talking about everyday people that you run into a town, into a bar, into whatever game setting. We're not talking about major plot points, not talking about major antagonists or protagonists, or even the big bad. We're talking about just people that your characters would run into at a given day.
Yep.
Now, to that end, another great technique to make easy NPCs is to fall on the classic tropes. There's nothing wrong with making tropes. Now, some of you may go, oh, but that's so boring, or I don't really like the way the tropes are written. Then write your own. But it's easy to, you know, have some fun tropes, right? Gruff innkeeper. Everyone's had one who's ever played D&D. The ex-adventurer innkeeper, which I even mentioned
right
before. The lawful paladin.
Sure.
And you can see his gleaming armor and, you know, pure white horse as he strides up, and you know that it's going to say something irritating to you. The scheming rogue is another good NPC example. The hooker with a heart of gold, you know, whatever those tropes happen to be.
And in some cases, those tropes exist to provide a point of either contention.
Mm-hmm.
Or a point of context.
Yeah, so you can either get outraged or you can be interested.
Right.
And honestly, either work. Yeah. Remember, storytelling doesn't, not everyone has to get along in storytelling. Conflict makes a story go further sometimes.
Well,
having the characters fight something is a good thing. So here's a good example. You're at a bar and there's the trope of the town drunk being a bully and messing with other NPCs. What a perfectly great example, especially on a session zero, when your characters are getting to know each other, of figuring out, how do you guys feel about someone just messing with this other guy?
Right. Like, how does each of the characters react to this? That will tell your players a lot about each other.
Absolutely. Now, these tropes, you can either use them or lose them, right?
Sure.
Just a quick way to make NPCs. Another idea is, if you want to use the tropes, or maybe you've just written up a basic NPC and you want the players to remember the NPC, as I mentioned before, give them something interesting, a tidbit, a quirk, something that will let the players remember the NPC. If you're just going to describe this person is in, you know, gray robes, walks by another person in gray robes, this guy's in fuchsia robes, he's levitating, and he's got a banana in his hat. You're going to remember that.
Right.
I'm going to remember that.
Sure.
Because why would you stick a banana in your hat?
Right.
That's really the thing that I would remember. So if you want interesting NPCs, give them quirks. Maybe, and it doesn't have to be outrageous like that. It could be something like the paladin might have a facial tic. That's it. Just a facial tic.
Simple. It's quick, but it provides one bit of reference that makes him different than this town full of people.
Yeah. You could have another good example is obviously a limp or some kind of physical quality.
Yep.
Some kind of description. Things that most storytellers don't think about a lot. Particular odors.
Yeah.
To describe a particular odor that a NPC might have. That's really cool. Especially if you're doing like a murder mystery type thing. Oh man, I knew so-and-so was the murderer because I smelled jasmine when I walked in on the crime scene, and this person smells like jasmine as well. He must be the killer, you know?
Sure.
That's what a great description. Use all five senses when you're doing this.
100%. That is one of the things you should lean on at every opportunity.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
See you soon.
This episode is sponsored by...
We're going to give it another go. It's a bit more zing. Yeah. Ready?
Hello.
Wait till I get through the whole thing. Ready? Hello with a billowing hilltop.
Hello.
Oh, dear.
Waiting to get through the whole thing.
I thought
that was the whole thing.
The whole thing is hello with a billowing hilltop. Okay. That's the whole thing.
Yeah? Okay. That was right.
That pretty much sums up the show. But if you want to find out any more, you can visit us at www.billowinghilltop.com. Is it com? Does anybody know?
.org.
Is it?
It's .com.
What do we do? What do we play?
There's monsters.
Does anybody remember?
Walking around.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And we will be delighted if you were to join us around our table as we play Dungeon. Is it 5th edition? Hello?
Yeah, we think so. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. We play Dungeons and Dragons.
Sorry, that was me.
What was that noise in the background? There will be noises in the background as we play Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition through the classic Paizo adventure path, The Age of Worms. You can expect this.
No!
Quite a bit of this.
I'm completely lost.
This.
Blair.
This.
I've got a bugbear in my underpants.
And one of these.
Oh dear.
We're on Apple Podcasts and we're on Spotify and we're on TuneIn and you can find us on Twitter and you can find us on Facebook. And we hope you join us. Thanks very much.
This is a commercial break. If you guys would like to hear us review something like a product or service, or if you'd like us to cover something like a topic,
or if you'd like to sponsor an episode, we'd love to hear from you and have you contact us at info@goblinscorner.com.
So write to us, and maybe we'll talk to you. Maybe not. And we're back.
Welcome back.
All right, so when we last left off, we were giving you guys some quick NPC tips.
Right. Just things to make them either memorable or not, as necessary.
Like quirks, which is what we were talking about last. This is something that I have found, and it just could be my players, but go ahead and assume this is a cardinal rule.
I'm pretty sure this is literally every group.
Every group. The players will almost always go over to the NPC that you have the least amount of information about. So be prepared to improv on the fly.
Sometimes you have to do it.
I would say that anything you have the least amount of information on in a game, period, they're going to squirrel over. And you have no idea what they're going to squirrel out over. We've had games where I've written out character arcs. We've got all the storyline, and they could do some random shit. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. One of the characters was heavily involved with seamstress. His mom was a seamstress,
yeah.
And I made the NPC's mom a seamstress. And it was just something, you know, you go up and see your mom, she's doing clothing. He ended up spending hours trying to get business for his mom as his character, which was cool.
Right.
But then I got to write a whole damn backstory for his mom. Where it was just really just, you guys started in the town and you all grew up together and here's your mom. She's a seamstress. And that's literally all I had. And then I had to write it.
Wrong answer,
sir. Totally wrong, man. You guys.
We're going to send her exotic fabrics from around the world.
You fixated on that stuff. I had no idea what to do. So you got to improv on the fly.
I was surprised that, even being a player in our group, I had no expectation that he was going to go that route.
It surprised me. It was great.
It
ended being
fun, but
lots of fun.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to roll with it. There's just no help for it. There are times when your players are going to be like, I need to know absolutely everything about this blue flower because you mentioned it.
It's crazy. So if you're going to assume that that's going to happen, you need some good methods to come up with characters on the fly really fast. Now, something that I've done when I was in improv, when I was actually improvising,
right,
as opposed to, you know, sitting in a room recording,
right,
because everybody's sick with COVID, was a technique that is called fast food Stanislavski. And it's just a way to generate characters on the fly. If you're in improv or you've done improv, you probably go, oh yeah, we could do that. And it's easy. The way that I rehearsed it was, you have 7 seconds. So you take a deep breath, 7 seconds. Someone gives you a character trait, right? Maybe a facial tick or some kind of bodily attribute, you know, maybe a bum leg, or maybe you've got feet that are too big, or an emotional state is another good one. You usually get like one or two qualities, and then you have to kind of take a deep breath, turn around, and embody that character.
Right.
This is a great technique to do for running a game, because you've got about 5 or 6 seconds to think before you have to come up with an entire story for your NPC.
Sure.
What I would suggest is build on using this, and you can go look up the technique, and there's a lot of different nuances in doing this exercise, but come up with an emotional state or a physical trait, and that's it. That's all you need to do. Come up with one of those or both of those.
And it doesn't even have to be something like a tick. You can have long, luxurious hair.
Yep.
Right? It's...
This person is very upright in their posture.
Yeah.
This person has a lot of huge bulging muscles. This person is very...
It's any physical trait.
Any physical trait. It could be this person appears sad. You know, whatever emotional trait. This person looks like they are... Someone is running after them. Or they just look like they're having a bad day.
Sure.
Embody that physically within you. When you're telling the story, it helps. Draw on your past experience, and it will allow you to start filling in the blanks, what the person's name is, what their job is. Maybe, do they have a family?
Right.
How old are they? You know, what do they do in their downtime? What do they like to do? This technique is great for characters in improv. It's great for characters in any type of role-playing game.
Right.
So try it out.
Now on that topic, you mentioned a physical trait, an emotional trait, what mm-hmm. have you. One of the things we haven't brought up, generally speaking, is because it doesn't need to be brought up. And that's stats.
Right.
90% of your NPCs do not require stats.
Or stories.
Right.
Now, again, be prepared to, on the fly, come up with an exhaustive story, but most of the time, most of these NPCs don't need anything. They need a line or two of what they are, what they do, or what's going on.
Welcome to the shop. What can I get for you?
Because remember, they're supposed to be background noise.
Right.
Or minor engagement or interaction. And anything more than that, you're probably going to write something down for a character.
And speaking of writing something down... One of the things that I do is I pre-gen a bunch of townspeople, random townspeople,
mm-hmm.
any random town people. Doesn't matter. Because when you walk into a store, I pull out random town folk, and that person now owns the store.
Or is shopping in the store.
Sure.
And you're a big proponent of pre-gens.
I am on a lot of levels. I am both a big proponent of pre-genning some characters and pre-genning some charts. I love when somebody comes around the corner and they're like, oh, who's in there? I will drop a handful of dice, and that handful of dice will determine how many people are in the bar.
And then he opens up this binder chock full of hastily drawn out scratches of everything he has thought of. It's literally a brain dump.
Yes.
On paper.
Yeah. And that will determine exactly who's in there and what race they are. I've got hair colors, eye colors, dispositions, quirks. If if they are a kleptomaniac or not, who knows? Like, I have so much stuff written down in charts because, to me, it's perfectly fine for someone to just be a normal person,
yeah.
Right?
And I will say this about pre-gens. While I don't do a lot of pre-gens, they work.
Yeah.
And you don't have to think, so you're not constantly thinking about what's going on. And honestly, in the middle of a game, if someone comes up, well, what do I see? And you're rolling real quick, nobody cares. It takes no more time than if I were to make something up off the fly.
Right. And the other thing is, going to the next one, if you take a little bit of your downtime to pre-generate a few lists, just a couple of lists, your life becomes so much easier.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about some downtime pre-game activities. So making a list of NPCs is a great downtime. Spend 30 minutes, spend an hour if you feel like it. You wake up in the morning, you know your game's going to start, you got your cup of coffee, write down some characters. You may never even use them for that game. Doesn't matter. You'll use them eventually.
My number one, and you've seen my list, my number
Which
one.
Which list? You've got like 20 of them.
Right, but I have literally multiple pages of names.
Yes.
I have never not had a name for an NPC in a game because I don't believe in it.
And this is something I need to do because I suck at names. And I will say that that's one thing Matt does a lot better than me is because he's got a whole list of names, whereas I have to make something up off the fly. And because I'm too lazy to make a list of names, and I need to do that sometime.
And the truth is, you steal them from everywhere. You will hear me say this over and again. Steal it. Just steal it. It is fine to steal it.
Or purchase names from people who create them, too.
Sure.
There's name generators. When you say steal it, you mean like just borrow from like real people or...
Oh, yeah. When I say steal it, I mean go to iwantanamemybaby.com and
just start
write down every A name, every B name, every C name, and write them down for multiple cultures. And that way you've got, depending on where you are, you've got appropriate names for wherever you are.
Yep, that makes perfect sense.
Mix and match if they're travelers. It's great.
Now, not just names. What other things can you add for a list? Now, you mentioned several of these, right? So, physical descriptions.
Yep.
You could make a list of people that you can describe via, like, family members.
Yeah.
You could write a list of, in your game, who are the major celebrities. I thought that was a great idea. Because if you're playing a D&D game, the local bard might be a celeb, or maybe the local town wizard. You're playing a Shadowrun game, there might be a specific, you know,
oh yeah, I mean,
synth rocker that's
huge,
or an Adoru, you know, electronic celebrity.
Yep. And the other thing is on the other note for celebrities, write down a list of celebrities that you can easily describe, and just slot that description in for any NPC that you don't have a description for.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a huge Anna Kendrick fan, right? And somebody says, oh, well, what does the barmaid look like? She's 5. I don't know. But however tall she is, she got medium brown hair. She got brown eyes, right? You describe Anna Kendrick, and all of a sudden, you've got this fairly detailed description on the fly, in quotation marks, because you're describing somebody that you can easily describe.
And how much cooler would it be if you're in it, like, we're going to use D&D as an example. You're in a bar and the chef comes out and the chef, well, what does the chef look like? He looks like Elvis.
Sure. You just...
That is now a memorable character.
It's true.
And all you have to do is use one word. Okay. You don't need to say anything else, right? Chef that looks like Elvis. That's kind of cool. And then you move on to other NPCs. I think it's a great idea using stuff like that.
One of the ones that I have used before that nobody ever notices, if somebody asks for a description, describe somebody at the table. Just describe one of your friends. They're sitting right there.
That looks just happens to look exactly like the player.
Right, but give the actual description of the player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're bald. They have brown eyes. They're about average height. They're medium build. They look like they carry themselves fairly well. Right? Okay.
Fellow psychologists who happen to be listening to this podcast, I would challenge you to, the next time you describe an NPC, do what Matt says, describe one of the players, and then note whether if the person that you describe happens to treat the NPC favorably or not.
There's that.
I'm just curious.
Yeah,
from a clinical side of things.
That's never occurred to me. It's just, for me, it's always been an easy shortcut because your player's mindset is inside the game. And they're
not thinking about themselves.
Have never recognized, in no game that I have ever run, has anybody ever recognized that I'm describing someone at the table, let alone that person themselves. It's never happened. And it's super easy.
You could even describe the player character's PCs the same way and see if they notice it.
Yeah.
That'd be another good one, too. Here's something that I have done developing characters, and I think this is a good exercise as well.
Right.
Get yourself a notebook. Go out in public. Go shopping. Go to Target. Go whatever. Do whatever you need to do. Go watch people. Get a notepad. Write down interesting people that you meet. Any interesting facial expressions, ways people walk. I'm very conscious of how people walk because how someone walks tells a lot about how healthy they are, whether they have an injury, whether they're nervous, their emotional state, stuff like that.
Whether they're tired.
Yeah. All kinds of stuff like that. How people talk, you know, maybe the cadence, those sort of things. Put that down, make an NPC diary and write those different qualities, much like what Matt is doing. Kind of the same thing, but you know, sit on the next time you're in the subway, watch people, just write down some notes.
Yep.
Some of the most interesting characters are just people that you meet in every day. They don't have to be fantastical. In fact, I would say if they're fantastical, toss them out. Make them generic, interesting qualities, just random people. A lot of descriptions that we never use, like this person has a particular handbag or this person's a grandmother versus a youngster, or think of all the things that you encounter in a day-to-day life that in a game setting you probably would never describe.
Right.
And that is why I think it's useful.
And the next tip I have down here, we use bullet points. So the next tip I have down here is, like I said, steal liberally from reality. First off, like you said, write down notes. You have a favorite barista? That's your new bartender, right? Whatever. Just take your real life and use those people that you can easily describe, that you can easily put into your players' brains. And if you're in a fantastic setting and you want to make them fantastic, make them a tiefling, make them an elf, make them a gnome, whatever you need to do to bring out the fantastic side of that.
I want to read this part off because I think this is awesome. You want Dom Judy Dench as the badass matronly tiefling mayor of your homebrewed town. You know what? Someone needs to throw that into a game.
I'm telling you.
Judy Dench as a tiefling mayor?
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
Yes.
I could see that. Totally see that. That'd be great.
I'm trying to decide whether or not that's not true. I want to do both. I want to make a town where she's the mayor, and B, I want to play in a game with a town where she's the mayor.
You know, supposedly Vin Diesel, when he was making Chronicles of Riddick,
taught her to play.
Yes.
You know, she eventually DM'd for some of the people on set.
Did she really?
Yes.
I love her even more.
That's
now.
My understanding. Yep.
That's awesome. That's great. I'd play that game.
Of course you would.
Okay. Well, everyone on the cast of that? Yeah, absolutely.
That would be awesome.
Who am I kidding? I'd play any game. If you happen to have some artistic skills, sketching, making a couple quick sketches of some NPCs, just ideas,
yeah,
is a great thing to do. You don't have to, and it could be stick figure drawings. Doesn't matter. So long as it's something that you use as a tool when you're pre-gaming all of this stuff.
And I have, I have friends who are better graphically than they are at creating either literarily or off the fly. And so for those people, once they draw the character, they have an easier time filling that character out, making that person a person, because mm-hmm. now they know how they look, they know who they are. My brain is definitely not wired that way. But for the people who are, if you've got the time to do it, by all means.
Do it. Yeah, absolutely.
Also, character generators. We mentioned it before, but it is on the notes. Use an NPC generator. There's no such thing as cheating.
Unless
you're fudging dice rolls. But. Right.
There's a lot of good NPC generators online that are free. There's a lot of really great third-party supplement tables that a lot of content creators all over the web have made that you can purchase for almost nothing. Some of them, they're even given away.
Yeah.
Go check DriveThruRPG. Go check DM's Guild, various other places. There's, you know, we've reviewed some stuff from several content creators already. Like, go find that stuff, spend a little bit of money if you want and make some really good NPCs off of those. Use some of the free stuff too. Mix and match.
Yeah.
It's literally just the world is at your command when it comes to making good characters. Yep. There's so much information out there that you can use and rehash into something interesting without making it seem the same old stuff.
100%.
All right. So you've made some characters in your pregame. We've given you a couple of rules in what we consider to be important as to why NPCs are useful or how you can best benefit creating NPCs. But also, let's talk a little bit about NPCs while you're running a game. So NPCs at the table.
Sure.
So if you want to have that noticeable quirk, or you want it to be energetic or inquisitive, whatever that happens it to be, go ahead and stress that. Lean into it when you are playing the NPC. Don't softball it unless you want it to be subtle.
If the person is a spy and they're pumping the party for information, obviously that needs to be subtle.
Yeah.
But if it's just some kid on the street that wants to know everything about the heroes that are running through the town, they're a kid. They're going to ask every single question in machine gun speed, and they want to know. Don't softball stuff. Just if it's something that you want your players to pick up on, make sure they pick up on it.
Yeah, because remember, NPCs are supposed to further the story.
Sure.
They're going to be plot points. They're going to be windows into your mind for the player characters. And if you're trying to get a point across, sell it. Lean into those quirks so that your players will remember what's going on.
Flavor the way you describe things to elicit the response you want from your players.
So what do you mean by that, Matt?
Let's take two people doing exactly the same thing.
Okay.
A gravedigger who's doing a job and a necromancer or a grave robber. Let's go with a grave robber.
Okay. Gravedigger and grave robber.
Right. A gravedigger is covered in the soil of their necessary job. Right? You know, they're just providing a service to society.
So you've described that gravedigger.
Right. A grave robber is covered in the filth of a recently disturbed grave.
So definitely a more malicious intent with your use of language.
Right. Those are two people covered in the exact same type of dirt.
Mm-hmm. These descriptions add weight to a character, and they give a color to the story that you're trying to tell. They give a thematic ambiance, I guess is the best way to think about it. And as I mentioned, the more you ply on these details, the more people are going to remember that NPC.
Definitely.
But don't bet on it. Just keep that in mind too. You might think you're quoting Shakespeare, writing some prose, and this NPC is they're definitely going to remember this NPC. They're going to forget it next game. That's fine. They'll squirrel out on something else.
Yep. You have players who will take notes and remember everybody you don't, if mm-hmm. you don't take notes. And then you have players who will remember esoteric details and not remember the name of the king that have sent them on their life quest.
That's actually one of my games, if I recall. You guys can't remember anybody in charge, but you remember every single rando that I come across.
Oh, I guarantee you, if there was somebody in charge, I've got it in my notes.
Well, you write everything down. No one else did.
That's because that's the only way my brain will work.
Yeah. I like this one, too. And this is probably one, if you're going to try out voices, I would say start binge watching just random YouTube channels. Do impressions of the hosts. Your players don't know you're doing an impression, so it doesn't really matter if you suck or not.
Yep.
If you're great at it, great. If you're doing a terrible impression of something, they still think it's great because they don't know you're doing an impression of it. And that, again, goes for pretending to be celebrities, pretending to be people that you know. Hell, try to make impressions of them and see if they call you out on it.
Unless it is a celebrity that is extremely recognizable, you're probably okay. But if your Sean Connery impression is garbage, do not use it because everyone knows
what Sean Connery what sounds Sean like. Connery sure. Sounds same thing with Schwarzenegger and some other people like that.
Sure.
Yeah. If it's immediately recognizable, then maybe don't do it. Unless, well, you know what? Do it anyway because it's funny.
That's fair. Yeah. You can
just
always
do it. Who cares? Yeah. It's a game, guys.
Sean Connery is comedic relief. Can you imagine Sean Connery as a bard? Like, I want to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just picturing that in my head. That'd be awesome. Yeah. You should make Sean Connery a bard.
He could wear the outfit like he did from Highlander.
Absolutely. Now, to follow that up, I would say...
That's a free NPC for you right there. Sean Connery, the bard. Describe him just like he was dressed in Highlander, what, 2?
Highlander, The Quickening. That's Highlander 2. Yeah. I want to see that, guys. I want to see sketches immediately.
Not only do I want it as sketches, if you do it in an actual play, please immediately send us the link.
Yes. Now, to follow that up, how you say something is often more important than how you use the dialect. And let me give an example by that. Consider that a dock worker just unloading crates may not be as eloquent in their use of vocabulary as a nobleman who is raised theoretically with learned
with a better education.
Yeah, with a better education, a wizard, a wise man, or something like that. Of course, if the dock worker happens to speak very eloquently, that is a perfect reason to give a why.
Right.
And as we say in improv, if that is true, what else is true?
And the important thing there is if you're going to play these games and use that as a methodology to hopefully provide some information to your players, all the other dock workers have to speak as if they're dock workers so that an eloquent dock worker stands out.
Right. Or if all of the dock workers are eloquent,
then
you've got
some serious questions going here.
I'm full of questions. Then are all the dock workers eloquent? Is everyone in a manual labor trade happen to speak like that? Is it like Deadwood?
Right.
I don't know if you guys watch Deadwood, but everyone speaks so
perfectly.
Yes, so precise. Love that. I loved that show. It's great. So these are just a couple of examples that we hope will allow you to make better NPCs for yourself, for your characters, and for your story. Did we miss something?
Let us know.
Write to us. info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach
me at Matt@goblinscorner.com.
Or Eric@goblinscorner.com for me, Eric.
It's amazing how that works. You can also feel free to ask us on our Twitter, Goblins Corner, or @goblinscorner.
Yes, and we have, obviously, Facebook page.
Sure.
Instagram.
Yeah.
We've got a website.
It's true.
We got a few other things. Oh, yeah, we got a Discord server now, so hit us up on Discord. Links on our Twitter feed, links on our goblinscorner.com. Feel free to chat with us. We just usually just sit around and bullshit.
That's what we do, in fact.
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for sticking around with us. We'll see you next time.
Have a good one.
Goblin's Corner is written and produced by Eric Holden
and Matt Staples.
Show song by the mighty D20.
This is a Subterranean production.
The bass.